What's up, Wildlings? You wanted the best. You got the best. The hottest podcast in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm talking about the Sean versus Wild podcast. You know me. The man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. It's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. Now that I've got all the hyperbole out of the way, hope you guys had an awesome first week of 2018. I know I did. I actually, you know, got to have a few days off of work, had a little vacation. So, and by work, I mean my normal 9 to 5, but I didn't take a break on the show. So I've got some great podcasts recorded, sent out a lot of great emails and correspondence for guests here in the future. So I'm excited for 2018. The deck is stacked. You know, a lot of great guests coming your way. Most importantly, a lot of great guests coming your way today. I'm talking about my good friends and His Dream of Lions. I recorded this cast a couple months ago when they were on tour, and they had a date in Northern Indiana. They were driving down to Nashville, Tennessee. So, of course, they stopped in here at the Smithsonian. We cracked open a case of the Coors Light and got to talking, got to have a few drinks, and packed all in here in the Smithsonian and recorded a podcast. So, a lot of people on the cast today, six of us, including myself, on the cast today. So it's going to be great. A lot of fun conversation. And one of my favorite things about doing this show, you know, a big benefit that I get out of it is I get to showcase and help out bands that I truly like and people that I truly like and care about, and showcase their music. His Dream of Lions is an awesome band. So, yeah, it got the Sean versus Wild seal of approval from me, signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. Rubber stamped, great band. And we're going to be listening to their single, Love Me Like I'm Sick, later on in the show. And they are sick, bruh. Very sick. So you're going to want to definitely check them out, listen to the show. Great guest today. And next week, big week for the show, man. Huge week. I'm talking with Kevin Lyman, the mastermind behind Warped Tour. And guys, this is the last year for Warped Tour going nationwide like it normally does. So we're talking about that. And we're going to be talking about his past and present and future. So big show coming up. Next week, big show right here with you this week. Well, it's the big show. That's a wrestling reference for you here, guys. But yeah, man, I'm having a great first few days of 2018. You know, as I'm recording this, it's about a week in. I'm stuck to my resolutions. You know what I'm saying? So I'm cutting back on the alcohol and the cigarettes and the, I don't know, all the stuff that people make resolutions about, the diet and exercise. I've not cut back on the diet of exercise. I've been bringing that to the forefront. So feel pretty good, man. I feel pretty good. About 9 pounds down already in just a few days. So I know that's going to be, you know, beginning weight, water weight, whatever you want to call it. It's coming off. So I'll be shredded like a julienne salad here in absolutely no time. So very excited about that. And then, yeah, I'm very excited about a lot of things in 2018, man. Got a lot of new stuff in the pipeline, but that doesn't mean that I forgot about the old reliable. I'm talking about Audiophile Inc. Got some new shirts from them. So if you guys are interested in having your own shirt that says Rock and Roll Night and Podcast every Tuesday, I've got them, here for you. And, shirts are $20 and, sweatshirts are $40. Go figure. Maybe I'll cut you a deal, $35, $15, whatever. Just get in touch with me. We'll make something happen here, and I'll ship it to you no matter where you are. But Audiophile Inc. Is who is responsible for the printing of the merchandise, and they can set you up too. Go to audiophileinc.com and place your order with Shane. Shane's the man. He's going to hook you up, give you the best deal in town no matter what town you live in, and he can ship all of your gear right to your door, as he does ship to all 50 nifty United States. And I don't know if he'll ship internationally, but, dude, go there. I'm sure he can work you out something. Here in Louisville, man, here we're good people, man. We'll be able to help you out here. I think we can get something taken care of here for you, brother. And good brother, I'm going to hook you up too with a free 30-day trial of Audible. Thanks to my sponsors here at Audible. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/SeanVersusWild. You can sign up. You get a free 30-day subscription to Audible. That entitles you to one free audiobook. They have 180,000 audiobooks to choose from. Just got a new one here. I'm a big wrestling fan, so I've got Chris Jericho's newest book. I've got Jim Ross's newest book. And then, even though it's not wrestling related, love the movie The Disaster Artist. So I got Greg Sestero's Disaster Artist. And that is hilarious. You got to check it out, especially if you like Tommy Wiseau and you like the Tommy Wiseau impressions. Greg can knock it out of the park. So get yourself, a free audiobook. And if you don't like it, you can trade it in. You still keep the old one, and you can cancel it at any time and still keep your audiobook, man. The benefits just keep on coming. You're going to definitely want to go to audibletrial.com/SeanVsWild. audibletrial.com/SeanVsWild. Sean versus Wild. So that's going to set me up. And that's a big thing, man. 2018, I just want to take this podcast. I know you guys probably listened to me babble on and on last week's episode, on our anniversary episode / year in review. But I just want to take the cast to the next level. And I'm just stoked that, you know, it's a one-year anniversary. I actually was able to do this for a year. 56-plus episodes already in the old grab bag for your listening enjoyment. So here's to 56 more. So, yeah, man, we're going to be 100 plus at this rate by the end of 2018. But I just want to keep the ball rolling. And the only way I can do that, though, and I know that you're probably tired of me saying this over and over again, but it's with your help. You know, the things like the Audible trials, that brings money, puts money into my pocket that I can put back into the show. The big thing about this show is, yeah, we talk about our music, our movies, our pop culture. But I always like to talk about, you know, how people go about living the dream and just living their dreams in general. Because, you know, I don't know too many people that want to work 9 to 5 the rest of their life. They want to live the dream. They want to do what they love to do. And this is what I love to do. So the way that I can do that is with your help. So if you don't want to sign up for, say, an Audible trial that puts money directly into the show, you can always buy a t-shirt, heck, that puts money into the show and get you some snazzy articles of clothing to wear. But just tell a friend about it. You know what I'm saying? This might be the first time you've ever heard the show. If you like it, please feel free to share it to your friends. Like, share, and subscribe. It's on Facebook. It's on Twitter. You know, I'm on Twitter, Instagram. The show is on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. That's a big one. iHeartRadio, Google Play Music, wherever you get podcasts. YouTube. Did I say YouTube already? Subscribe to the YouTube. It doesn't have that many subscribers. But that every little bit of, you know, attention that you can provide for the show, put that in another person's, put that on another person's radar helps me tremendously. So I appreciate everything that you guys have done for me in 2017. I appreciate all the new listeners and all the guests that I will have in 2018 as well. And yeah, just thank you so much. I've talked your ear off, I know. So no more speaking from me. Let's go ahead, get to the show, His Dream of Lions, on the Sean versus Wild podcast. You know what time it is. You're dialed in to America's Sean Line. You're dialed in on the Wildernet. You've got mail. It's time to get wild.
Little Diane Rehm,
yeah.
Action.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast.
Smidge. I hope you're enjoying your fluoride,
dude. It's a crazy world out there, man.
Hope you have your beats on and your ASMR turned up so loud,
dude. Tell the audience about ASMR because we just had a whole conversation about it off tape, off this Talk Boy. Once right before I flipped record on this Talk Boy, mm-hmm. We were talking about ASMR.
This is Colby's domain,
dude. Colby,
oh god,
hit me with it.
I'm the one. Okay,
she's cute, right, isn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah. Well, I ran into this this YouTube video with 20 million views of this girl, just kind of tickling a pot, and I found it very soothing. I have trouble sleeping, so yeah, I just kind of fell asleep right away, and then I've been kind of using it on the tour for the past few days, and it's been awesome. I've introduced the guys to it, and they yeah. love it. Isn't that right, guys?
I've grown. Yes. I've grown as a man.
Yeah, man. Well, you guys are enjoying great night's sleeps. That's important. That's crucial on the road. You know, you got to have your rest.
Yeah. Very you ever close. Drink Nero?
I've actually had quite a bit of Nero. There was a lot. There was a Nero rep on Warped Tour both years. So we had like a lot of the orange and the blue.
The orange shit. Can we swear?
Oh yeah, dude.
It knocks me the fuck out.
This is the internet, brother. Welcome to the internet, man.
Hell yeah.
We can say whatever we want, brother.
Hell yeah.
And
yeah.
The blue stuff, the non-stress. The
yeah.
The,
find your bliss.
Yeah. Stress relief.
It actually doesn't make me less stressed. It just makes me want to fall asleep, but not as well as the orange one does. So
it just makes all your troubles go away. Like I don't have nightmares.
Yeah.
If I drink the blue one.
It makes everything turn to like, you know, rainbows and candy.
Rainbows and butterflies and compromise. That's what moves us along. Compromise.
Yeah.
Adam Levine for Rune
sure.
5.
For sure.
2003.
God bless.
What an artist. Adam Levine.
What an artist.
Yeah. Artist of our songbird of our generation, guys, if I may say so myself.
Preach it.
Yeah. Everybody, though, welcome to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, as always, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting Rad back into talk radio. It is time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. And joining me in the studio today, it is a packed house, guys. I have every single member of His Dream of Lions, as well as their photographer here. What's up, Liz?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, girl.
So, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, guys, all the way from Northern Virginia, and you're en route to Nashville tomorrow, and you were kind enough to just... take a break from hanging out and come join me for a podcast. What happened there? Did you get burned on the wax melter?
I thought it was stained glass, and I was like, no, that's molten liquid. Yeah.
Ow. And it just won't go. It won't come off my hands.
Shit.
Yeah, dude. Right. That's a wax. That smell of banana bread.
Yeah.
That's.
I was like, smells real good in here.
Yeah. Touch it.
Yeah. Oh, this stained glass smells delicious.
Just deposit this back into the smelter.
Yeah.
I had an unfortunate smelting accident. Yes.
I'll never play guitar again.
I don't really now.
Perfect, guys. Well, hey, I'm glad that you got to, you know, we got to hang out. We got the Coors Lights flowing. You guys got a taste of the Louisville Metro tap water.
And, yeah.
A lot of high praise.
Got a glass right here.
It's amazing. A lot of high praise coming out of you, you five.
Yeah.
How delicious it was.
Very good.
It was really fucking awesome. Like, it was
top notch.
Good, dude.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast where we just talk about tap water. This is going to be very thrilling, everybody.
I like the pH level in this.
This is really balanced for me.
This is really balanced.
So this is fantastic. So, guys, you are from Northern Virginia, Fairfax area, just a hop, skip, and a jump away from our nation's capital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're on tour, man.
Yeah, dude.
That's what's up. Well, tell me, tell the listeners out there about yourself. Let's start here. Let's just introduce everybody because we do have a packed house here. So that way everybody can kind of put a name to a voice. And let's go ahead and just start from my left and we'll just go ahead. We'll go clockwise here.
Yeah. My name's Seth. I sing in the band and I play guitar. And that's me.
Yeah, dude.
And Seth. And this is me, Colby, and I play keys and I sing backup vocals.
What are you doing up so late?
I love the dynamic of just whispering on this podcast. It's really working because we are literally all just packed in the room together like Charlie Bucket's grandparents.
It just feels
put
natural.
You to sleep. I feel very close to all of you. Yeah.
It's great.
My name is Sean, and I play drums.
Dude,
with the
my
band.
Name's Sean. I'm also a drummer. So
we spell it the same way.
You're going to have to get one of these Sean versus Wild t-shirts,
I need one. I'll pick one up before we leave tonight.
Yeah, it's going to happen, bro.
Heck yeah.
Get a room.
easy, guys. Jeez.
My name is Justin. I play bass in the band.
Justin, the bass player.
That's me.
My name is Nick. I play guitar and sing in the band.
That's what's up. Nick, as soon as you walked out of the vehicle, as soon as you exited the vehicle, started walking towards my house, I hit you with a straight up Assad. And you literally didn't say anything. You didn't react. And immediately, I was just like, I've made a very, very poor decision in introducing myself to these guys.
Saw.
Turns out, the Saw Dude was a big hit later on.
Smash hit.
Didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Once you brought it up.
Turns out that this guy is, you know, really making waves as a
DJ outside of Vine.
Yeah.
Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I mean, you're totally cool with the meme droppage where, you know, we're down.
100%.
We're down.
Let's ride that meme train.
Let's ride that meme.
So, yeah, guys. Well, how did you guys get your start? You know, because I'm new to your guys' music. I've checked it out over the past couple days when I knew you were being in town. And you come with a great recommendation from my homie Kevin. And I know you guys toured with my homeboys in Assuming We Survive and Moonwalker. Shout out to Rob.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to Mark.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, so tell me about like the formation of the band, how you guys got together, whose idea this was, all that good sort of thing.
I mean, it was really Nick. We had kind of been in bands in the like Northern Virginia like music scene throughout high school and stuff. And I was in bands and Nick was in bands. And the singer in his band at the time, I quit or was kicked out or whatever the hell happened, but
yeah,
whatever the hell happened. But Nick was like, "Hey, come sing in my band." And he and I, Colby and I, had been in a band before.
Hey,
and we.
Hey, what are you doing? I'm so late.
Hey, it's cool. And and yeah, that's just pretty much how it happened. So we, you know, Nick called me up and we started practicing and writing songs and wrote a bunch of songs and played a bunch of shows, and the lineup kind of evolved over the years, and here we are. You know,
that's awesome. And Nick, we have like a little, I'm surprised our paths have not crossed before, because you've did some time with Audio Strobe Light back in the day.
Yeah.
And those guys, we toured with them up and down the country several times.
Yeah, so they've been good friends of ours. They're one of the first bands that we did a bunch of shows with. I mean, throughout Virginia, in Virginia Beach, in Harrisonburg and Richmond and in our neck of the woods, and they've been good friends of ours. Actually, they played our record release show for our EP Part 2.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And that's when I talked to them, and they told me that they needed a bass player for a tour, and I ended up touring with them, doing a summer tour with them. And that's how I met Kevin as well, well, through that.
Right.
Found out that he was connected to them at the first show, the Assuming tour, and everything like that. So
that's what I love about like music. Like, I started playing music just because I'm like, hey, I'm some kid from like some nowhere town in Indiana. Like I said, like I graduated in a class of like, you know, 50 people, and I'm like, I went to a school that had 300 people in it, and you know, I started playing music and not knowing where it would take me, and then I realized like once you start and you start playing out and you start playing shows, you're actually now part of this whole network of like-minded people that are doing the exact same thing, and then the world just becomes like so small and so interconnected, because one band you play with has, you know, contacts with some other band, and you'll meet them years down the road as well, and all kinds of cool stuff. So
small world.
Along with that tour, I knew of Kevin, we also knew Rob from Moonwalker,
right,
before that. Because he was in an old band called Hold Your Own. He sang in that band, and he played at one of their shows back home. One of our first shows is His Dream Alliance.
Really?
And turns out that we've known him for years. And when he showed up, he messaged me like a month before, and then we realized, put everything together, and he showed up and just back.
And the rest is history. Yeah. Now you're here at the Smithsonian.
Yeah. Dude, when we were on the Assuming We Survive Moonwalker run, you did the podcast with the Assuming We Survive dudes, and I listened to it, and I was like, damn, I want to be on a podcast. This is badass, man.
Hell yeah, dude.
So here we are.
Your dream has come to fruition. Guys,
that was
see
quick.
That's what, just keep dreaming big, man.
Dude, it's been my dream to be on a podcast, because like I fall asleep to podcasts when we're driving and shit. Like,
that's
his
ASMR.
Yeah.
For me.
So, I listen to people talk.
I'm the same way, dude. I used to spend countless hours, you know, whenever you're you know, on the road and you're touring for hours at a time, like you spend so much time listening to the radio or listening to your CDs or listening to your phone, whatever music you have on there, whatever's on Spotify. And after a while, like, I was just like, man, I don't want to listen to music anymore.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. I actually like the only times I really am listening to music is like when we're in writing mode and then when we're in recording mode. Because you're like, you know, you're listening to songs, you're like going through like the back catalog of bands that you really like, trying to like kind of figure out like what can we do next.
Right.
And then when you're recording, you're just constantly listening to mixes and like analyzing for like, you know, little tweaks and stuff like that. But then after that, especially when you're playing shows every day and your ears are being blown out, you're just like, God, I don't want to hear another guitar riff.
Yeah, ever.
For fuck's sake.
Ever again, guys. You just got to listen to some people whisper into the microphone. Tap on a pot.
We're gonna get all the mics tuned. That's gonna be real nice.
Dude, Colby's high on pot. This person's just tapping a pot and he's just loving it. He's going crazy.
I'm so high on pot.
Smoking beer.
Smoking that beer. Dude.
Let's smoke some beer.
Dude, he's been smoking beer all night long, brother. But dude, that's so cool. Like just how everything kind of came together. Everybody, like, this is the first time we've ever face to face met each other and chilled together, and I'm loving it, man.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you guys had Muncie last night. You got Nashville tomorrow. How did Muncie treat you? How did Ball State?
Muncie
treat
was
you?
Fun.
It was amazing.
Fantastic. We it was it's called Lame Brain, right?
Lame Brain Productions.
Yeah,
the house.
House show. It was definitely one of the coolest house shows we've ever done.
Yeah, definitely the first one. The first one we've done in a long time, which was really fun. It's been a while, so it was nice getting back into that environment because I really miss that.
Yeah, Muncie was always a really awesome place to play. Ball State was voted like number one party school in America, and that's located in Muncie, Indiana.
Yep.
And it was anytime I've ever played there, it's always been like a fantastic time, and everybody does you up quite nice. You know what I'm saying?
Like, what does that mean?
I'm just saying. Like, what does this mean? Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, people come out and then they want to party and then they want to show you a good time afterwards and, you know.
Oh, yeah. A lot of hospitality. In that case, then, yes, we did get done up quite nicely.
Yeah, we got her done, is what we're saying. In that case, we really got her done.
Yeah, it was a hell of a time. It was great.
I mean, lots of people showed up.
People were stoked and, you know, it's just like an awesome vibe just having, like, a bunch of people in a small room, lots of energy.
Yeah,
people just having a good time, you know.
Just really open to it too. It was very just ready to have a good time and not like going to a show. It's like, I want to see this band, and everyone else is like just sitting there, like
just gonna stand around and drink this beer.
Yeah,
I'm gonna smoke this beer.
The arms folded in front of like the lead guitar player during the solo, like.
Yeah, I can do
what
that.
What is
whatever.
This?
I can do that.
Yeah,
you know,
whatever.
You know what? That's better than the big old fuck you horseshoe that happens.
Yeah, the fuck
day.
You horseshoe. Yeah. You heard of that?
I'm not familiar with it, but I just take it it's when people don't go to the front of the room.
Yeah, so it's like the fuck you horseshoe. People stand on the periphery of the stage, right? So you got people really close to whoever's on stage right and stage left. And then it's this bizarre, like, you know, semicircle.
Black hole.
Yeah, where it's almost like half of an ellipses where it's, you know, you have like, it's basically like one section of a McDonald's arch of people. Right, and it's really hard to collapse it in because nobody wants to come forward. But if you use the term fuck you horseshoe, they'll be like, ha ha, tee hee hee, oh, let's get closer. Yeah. So then
and then the single arch turns into the double arch because a line of people come straight to the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Got so, it. It becomes the fuck you W.
Yeah, fuck you W.
Because there's still some people that say, you know,
so
fuck you.
For you front men out there who are listening, if you see the fuck you horseshoe, call it out. Collapse that shit.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, how's tour going for you guys so far?
It's great. It's awesome. Great. Mm. It's been cold.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what you sign up for. You
that's
know?
What it's like to tour in December. You're right. 100%.
Yeah, it's cold. We spilled a bag of chips in the back seat.
Yet to clean it up.
Yet to clean it up.
Waiting to stop at a gas station and vacuum that up.
Peeing in bottles.
Yeah, man. That's the way the world works. You got to pee in a bottle. You have to immediately crush chips into the carpet. That's totally important.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's cold. And then one person gets sick. And then everybody gets sick.
Yeah. We're also thinking about investing in a poop jar.
Yep.
We're gonna be making our own jinkum.
You get the piss bottle, dude. Jinkum, it's the shit.
Gotta keep the ball rolling.
You know what I'm saying? This is our way. This is a great way to make a little extra cash on the road. You know?
Yeah. Try this shit, kid.
So
apologize.
We're at the end of 2017. How's 2017 been for you guys, man? What all's been going on for you guys over the past year or so?
Well, we kind of really hit the ground running, so to speak, and, like, pretty much coming out of this year, right into the summer. We did the tour with Assuming We Survive and Moonwalker, which was awesome. Did some writing, and then right after that, we did 2 weeks on Warped Tour, which was great.
That's awesome.
And then we went right into recording our next record, and then here we are. So we kind of have just been going down the checklist one by one.
We're just banging the
banging the goddamn checklist.
What, how did Warped Tour treat you, man? What did you think about it?
It was like really dramatic, like reality check. It was fun. I mean, it was amazing. You know, it was like one of the hardest things I've ever done, but it was, you know, I would do it again and again and again. Yeah. You know,
I've always said it's the hardest tour that you that you'll ever do. And anyone that's done it, you know, like that's been on the show, they say the same thing. It's just the hardest thing that you'll ever do. But it really, I feel like it takes you from, you know, a maybe a middle ground level of being a band to by the end of it, you are just like a fine-tuned machine. Like, you're a well-oiled machine. You're ready to go and take on the world right after
that. It was definitely the most rewarding thing we've done, in my opinion. Just meeting so many cool, awesome people and spreading the name. It's been awesome.
Yeah. Did you get to meet any of your favorite musical influences or anything like that?
We had, like...
I think I served the lead singer of Neck Deep... nice old spoonful of mac and cheese once.
Yeah, we did some catering work near the end.
Right.
You know? That was really the when we did the catering, that was really when we actually, I mean, like you would, I guess you could call it FaceTime because they were in front of our faces and we were giving them food. But, well, you know.
In the first year that we did work, we were a catering band and we did it all summer. And that is a great way to just network with everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're seeing everybody come through the line. They're seeing your face. You can make a little small talk if you want. You can get in there, man, if you want to.
Yeah.
And the catering crew is always awesome. Shelly Lynn and everybody that runs catering, fantastic woman. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the thing about Warped Tour is it's like, it really is pretty astounding, like just the it's just like this massive logistical project, and there's so much that goes into it, and there's so many people, and everybody is just doing their own job. And the thing that really was surprising to me is that you don't have just one job on Warped Tour. Like, you're not just a band that plays. Like, you're a barbecue band, or you do catering, or you're helping out with, like, for us, we were working basically as roadies for this tent,
right,
the Transform tent, with this guy named Shane, AKA Brando, who's fucking amazing, and like threw us a huge bone and let us come out and play every day in exchange for helping out, helping move stuff and spread the word about the charity that he was working, Water His Life. So, yeah, it was really just like a phenomenal experience. I mean, I would do anything to do it again, you know.
Yeah, man. I can't believe that this will be the last year now. And so, in many ways, I'm like, I can see why somebody wouldn't want to take this monster on the road again another year, because there's so much work. And it's from sun up to sundown. You know what I'm saying? It starts at 7 a.m. It ends at 2 o'clock in the morning.
8-hour drives.
Yeah. I mean, some of those drives are absolutely crazy. And I'm so bummed to see it go, because Warped Tour was like Christmas over the summer for me. You know what I'm saying? Growing up. And it was such a staple of like what I did every summer. And then it became like a huge highlight of my career. But also too, I can see, like, if you're behind the scenes and you have to deal with it every single day, like every day, obviously that's got to be your full time job, is when you're not, even when you're not on the tour, is just getting and planning and doing everything. The fact that this year's going to be the last one, I'm sure that it'll probably award some people some much needed rest.
Yeah. I don't want to like give the wrong impression, you know, like we did 2 weeks, you know,
right.
You guys did the whole thing. Moonwalker did the whole thing. Assuming We Survived did the whole thing. I mean, Kevin's been doing it for decades.
Years,
yeah. Right. I mean, I could only imagine like how exhausting one summer would be, let alone year after year after year of this. You know, I don't know why it's ending, or why it's not necessarily ending, but being decomposed into different legs or like regional events.
Sure.
But maybe many things can be true at the same time, and I would put money on that people are they're just tired. You know?
I'm just going to say it's much needed rest after huge 20 plus year run.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, but you guys are still firing on all cylinders, man. You got this tour coming up, and you got a big ass 2018 coming up.
That's the hope. That's what it's looking like.
Yeah, man. You were telling me all about it. So what's your 2018 looking like so far?
Well, we just started off. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. So
keep it going. Moonwalk all the way back, bro.
Moonwalk. I'm not going to go that far back. So we're working on that record. The first single came out with a video that premiered on Babel Music on December 5th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first single for our new record, Pseudostar.
Okay.
Which comes out February 16th. We're currently locking in a tour around that release release schedule, and then we're looking for stuff past that. So I know we're going to be doing a good amount come early 2018, and it's getting locked in right now, so I'm not entirely sure other than February.
Right.
But, yeah, we're going to be trying to stay on the road as much as possible, keep really busy.
I don't blame you, man.
Sell those records.
You got to keep it. You got to keep the wheels moving, man. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you get left behind.
Of course.
That's the way it is.
Yes, sir.
The sands of time. Keep pouring.
Escaping through the hourglass. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, that sounds nice. That sounds real nice.
You know what sounds really nice?
Guys, if you don't know what ASMR is, trust me, it is the most relaxing thing. It's what? Also strange. It's kind of mind blowing to me, like that the fact that someone actually did
so
this.
So calming.
Somebody was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna do this.
I'm gonna crunch a pickle in your ear.
I'm gonna crunch a pickle." In your ear.
Like, what do you do for a living? Well, I get on YouTube and I crunch these pickles.
You know what's, exactly. What's really great is when you go and search that. I saw it a couple times, and it's somebody that's pretending to do ASMR. I mean, they are. And they just ruin your night. Oh, if you're doing it to fall asleep to, halfway through, they just start screaming, like, being as loud and violent as possible into the microphone to make sure that it wakes you up and you'll never go back to sleep.
Opposite effect keeps you up all night.
Yeah, you know, I actually, that's one of my biggest, not one of my biggest phobias, but anytime that I ever, like, you know, get on YouTube, throw on some relaxation music or any kind of relaxing type vibe thing, I'm like, is this going to be one of those scenarios where, like, right at the end, it's going to be like...
Like a jump scare or
something? Yeah, a jump scare of, like, some, you know, it's going to be like a picture from The Exorcist and someone's screaming bloody murder. God. Like, is this how it's really going to happen? I'm like, I better not fall asleep.
You won't believe how this drill sergeant reacted when he saw this video.
So, that actually kind of happened to me once. I was falling asleep to... very popular instrumental album from the 70s, ambient thing. It's called Tubular Bells. You might remember that from the Pure Moods CD that you might have remember seeing the commercials for. But Tubular Bells, it was a whole album and instrumental and all that sort of thing. And I was like, okay, man, this is pretty soothing. It's cool. I'm going to fall asleep to this shit. And then for some reason, this dude decided on his album about 45 minutes into it. It's like, we'll just have people scream. We'll just have like women and men screaming in it, and like some like tribal chanting. And I'm like, yeah, this is pants-shittingly frightening. And I'm also, I was sleeping, but I'm not now.
Yeah, the most unpleasant.
Yeah. And you've been awake ever since.
Yeah. You just say I've not been getting a lot of sleep at night.
Do you listen with headphones in when you're trying to fall asleep with stuff?
I usually do, yeah. So I keep my headphones in. But now lately I've just been putting the phone, which has got to be horrible for you, man. The radiation, next dude. The waves, pillow. Bro. Yeah. Put it next to the pillow, man.
Well, I'm sterile, so.
We all will be after this. You know what I'm saying? That's a conspiracy.
Oh, yeah?
You know what I'm saying? That cell phones are going to make you sterile. But we've been talking about a lot of conspiracies. I know, because randomly, we were talking about them earlier. Mm. Are you guys conspiracy theorists? Are you guys getting into that sort of thing? You guys go down this conspiracy rabbit hole at all?
I'm checking out right now. You guys have fun.
Well,
if you need me, I'll just be living a normal life.
Well, Sean. I mean, I think Alex Jones is like the best comedian. I mean, dude, he's the funniest fucking
guy.
He's
a businessman, okay? What people don't understand is that guy makes money selling the conspiracy all day, day in and day out.
I wanted to get Colby some... Super Male Vitality for his birthday,
dude,
and make him take it.
Thanks so much.
Just to see what it would do, you know? But well, it's $60 a fucking bottle.
Yeah.
Well, you know my birthday is coming up.
Where's your bone broth? We need to get you some bone broth.
Bone broth is really hot on the Alex Jones show. Well, if you ever listen to InfoWars anymore, which it's like one of those things where they talk for 20 minutes and then it's a bone broth.
Yeah,
commercial.
He'll
it's a super male vitality.
He'll like scream for 20 or 30 minutes railing against, you know, some fucking, I don't know.
Cause.
Some cause, like, you know, whatever the fuck is going on. He'll start screaming about it, which is awesome. And he'll go into commercial break and then some like dope ass 90s like alt rock will start playing. And then it's like, have you tried our new product to make your penis bigger? You know?
Can we delete that?
Yeah. Have you tried some product to make you the ultimate alpha male?
Yeah, yeah, something
because
like that.
Because there's a war on the male gender.
Yeah, yeah, shit like
we
that.
We got the documents, yeah, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we've got the documents.
We got the documents.
And return to the frogs.
The fucking lizard men are coming after us.
It's amazing.
Do yourself a favor, your podcast listeners. Obviously, you probably heard of Joe Rogan's podcast. He's very popular. But Joe Rogan, for easy finding, episode 9/11.
He had
Alex Jones on.
Dude, it's fucking awesome.
I downloaded that last week and I've been waiting to listen to it.
God,
I've been
so
listening
good.
To music
so,
on the drive.
Because he had Eddie Bravo on.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like, every 10 seconds, it was like, wait, bro, let me talk about the fucking chemtrails and shit. It's like, and then like Alex was getting stoned and high and Joe was just, they were all fucked up and. It was,
and apparently they've been friends for like over a decade. I didn't see that friendship coming.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I mean, in that podcast, they mentioned that they were running around together during the Bush era, like early 2000s. I don't know what the fuck they were doing or like how they got hooked up, but like that relationship has been there.
Probably just hanging out, reading the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, yeah.
Around that time.
God, I mean,
the Bush era, you know, that was hot.
Yes.
We have to listen to this tomorrow on the drive. We got just enough time.
It's fucking awesome, man.
I'm so excited.
It's fucking amazing.
It's going to be great. But speaking of fucking amazing and things that are awesome, I did check out that amazing music video that you guys did shoot for your brand new single.
Yeah.
Love Me Like I'm Sick.
Thank you.
Now, dude, that was super well done. Who did that for you guys?
This guy named Justin Kroger at Los Angeles. He's a really awesome dude. He did like some of our music videos before, and we came to him again saying, hey, we're looking to do a video for this new single. Would you be down to shoot a video? Here's the concept generally. And he's like, yeah, totally. So he came out and shot the dang
explain
thing.
To everybody the concept, man. What's the big idea? What's the big secret agenda?
So there's this, when I was taking this English class, like I think it was junior year in college, and the professor brought up this video that basically demonstrated that the video for Single Ladies by Beyonce is just like a modern recreation of a very popular or like a very well-known video from the 70s for some song. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but if you just Google, you know, Single Ladies Beyonce ripoff, I mean, it's not really a ripoff, it's like kind of like a creative adaptation of the concept, but if you look that up, you'll see that the video for Single Ladies is essentially just like Beyonce took a concept from an older video and brought it to the 2000s. So I guess that the initial, like the seed for the concept for the video came from, well, what if we did something with like the Bohemian Rhapsody video? Like, right. what would that look like if we took like some like key imagery from that video and brought it into the 2010s?
Right.
And from there, it was kind of just, it was less of a like a deliberate like plot, and more of a kind of just like a visual art experiment.
Sure.
Where we were trying to meld these different, you know, aesthetic elements from everything from kind of like Blade Runner-esque stuff where it's kind of like dark but colorful, and right. then more retro Americana Mad Men kind of stuff with the TV and the ashtray and the scotch glass and the American flag. And all in all, it was meant to bridge these two visual worlds where it's futuristic looking, but it's simultaneously retro.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
It was awesome, man, and I thought that it was so well shot, very well done. Like I said, the colors and everything, just fantastic, and that song is great.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Hey.
Hey.
Welcome, bro.
Hey.
Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks so much.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, gosh, guys.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I'm not going to leave anybody, not one of you listeners, in suspense any longer. Let's go ahead and just check out the song, man. What does anybody have any background deets you want to share with those out there listening? Like, what's Love Me Like I'm Sick about, man?
Well, so my girlfriend has been dealing with some like significant health issues for a long period of time, and when we've been dating for a while, and she's had these health complications for as long as I've known her. And when you get that close to somebody for that long, you start to joke about serious shit like medical issues, and in a way that you wouldn't necessarily do if you were, you know, in a more short-term relationship or whatever. So I just kind of one day came up with this phrase jokingly, love me like I'm sick. And so I think the song is really about being close with somebody and having some dark stuff in a relationship, but joking about it in like kind of a macabre way, you know?
Right. And I think that that's kind of love me like I'm sick. Like, you know, I guess what I kind of took from it was just like, love me like you would if, you know, it was really on the line, you know?
Yeah.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if the stakes were really high.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, I thought it was great. And, I'm going to play it for everybody. Right now, I'm going to take every single one of you listeners to Toontown.
Let's rip it.
Toontown.
Let's rip it, guys.
Let's rip the rig. Let's rip it again. Swig this rig.
Yeah. So, guys, this is His Dream of Lions with Love Me Like I'm Sick.
Love me like I'm sick. Love me like I'm sick. Honey, I can keep the demons down for them bed. Yeah, you never want to die. I never want to live so. Love me like I'm sick. Love me like I'm sick. You should know by now that I am over. Get my heart from the drawer before I burn up. Yeah, I burn up on your bedroom floor. If I could, I would, I'd end this war. But my head is a boat and your love is a storm. I hear that you ain't a fan of my soul. Send my regards to the wish it will end. Love me like I'm sick, love me like I'm sick. Getting rough, you're screaming from the shore. I'll never give you up. Well, I think I might have swum too close to New York this time. Because I'm smitten for your promised land, where hearts do go.
Everybody, that was His Dream of Lions with Love Me Like I'm Sick, taking you straight to Toontown. Guys, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey.
We're here for round two.
Toontown is in, like, the Disney game?
Great game.
Toontown?
Welcome back. I forgot about that. It's been a long time. That's a good one.
Good reference.
You're into pop culture, man. We were talking about movies and stuff earlier.
Yeah.
Which I feel like a great movie conversation needs to be had. I mean, now that we're all around the campfire, like,
well, you just
like, are you afraid of the dark?
You just handed my ass to me about how Dune ripped off Star Wars, and now I'm like, I'm ready to curl up in my sock drawer and sleep for days.
What's so great is I keep having this argument with every single person on this podcast because everyone that comes on likes Star Wars, and I'm like, hey, man, you ever heard of Dune? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, you should check it out. Here are a bunch of similarities. And then they're like, why did you tell me this?
I've heard of Dune, and I watched the... Oh God, who directed the fucking movie? He also directed Twin
David
Peaks.
David Lynch.
David Lynch, yeah. I watched the David Lynch Dune. And have you ever seen the documentary Jodorowsky's Dune?
Jodorowsky's Dune,
Dune, yeah. Fucking awesome.
That's a fantastic documentary.
It's incredible. Yeah, I mean, I'm familiar with Dune and, like, the lore and everything. I just never read the books.
Yeah.
And I guess...
Well, if you've seen Star Wars, you pretty much got the gist of it.
Yeah.
Oh, zing.
Ooh, right. Can I get some ice for that?
And I feel so bad because you pulled off your fleece jacket, man, and revealed a beautiful rendering of Princess Leia on your t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. I really did not plan that. I've been wearing this for 2 days, so...
It's great, though.
Yeah, I think... may she rest in peace.
She smells great.
Yeah.
Are you guys stoked for the new movie, or what? Because at the time of this recording, guys, the movie has not come out yet. It has not broken box office records.
I'm tentatively stoked, you know? I feel like somebody's been abused being taken back to the place of the...
The scene of the crime,
you know, where it's like, okay, here we go again. It's got the fucking logo on it. I guess I gotta fucking watch it. I gotta get the fucking shit. Gotta buy the fucking t-shirt.
All the merch.
BB-8's cute. Fuck me.
BB-8's the best part of the new Star Wars for me. And I really did enjoy, I'm gonna be honest with you, we'll go on another Star Wars. Listeners, you probably heard it before, but Force Awakens was a fantastic cinematic experience. Like, when I went and saw it in the theater, I was, like, really happy I went and saw it, and it got me pumped up. And then I was, like, able to forgive some things. Like, people are like, dude, it's a ripoff of A New Hope. It's a remake of A New Hope. It's this of A New Hope. And I'm just thinking, well, you know, like, that doesn't really bother me. They're doing something. They're going in this new direction, you know? It is what it is. And then I saw that trailer for the Last Jedi, and I was like, man, I'm sincerely hoping that this is not a remake of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, the thing that really did it for me is, like, the second in that trailer, the second that I saw, because I can totally get on board with Luke Skywalker kind of assuming the Yoda role, you know, and being the new mentor, but the second that I saw that shot of the speeders, like, swooping down under those, like, salt flat things towards the what are called the gorilla walkers on, I guess, the planet's Crait. And in a total, you know, like an Empire Strikes Back on
Hoth. The AT-ATs?
Yeah.
On Hoth?
Yeah. It's like the same goddamn shit. And I'm like, Jesus, guys. Can we get, like, some other kind of walker? Like, maybe a two-legged walker?
Yeah. We'll just paint it black?
Yeah.
Maybe? Another color? Desert camo?
Sith walker?
Yeah. I mean, it's like...
This is called the Starkiller Base.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, this one's called Starkiller. That's the difference.
Yeah.
It's like when Vanilla Ice is like, see, their version goes ding, 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 da, da, ding, 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 ding.
And then
ding,
it's,
ding,
no, but actually it's dun, da, da, dun, da, da, dun, dun.
Yeah, yeah, but see, but my version goes ding, 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 ding. It's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Actually, Vanilla, it is exactly the same. You just moved your hand up.
Yeah.
When you said ding, 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 ding.
I think, well, actually, Colby showed me a picture, like, my dad has been, like, messaging the band account with these articles and videos about Star Wars and shit.
Yeah, it's a video.
And there's this like promo photo for the new Star Wars movie with the whole cast, and it has Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver, mm-hmm. who plays Kylo Ren, and they're right next to each other in this whole like ensemble photograph, and they're right next to each other, and Daisy Ridley is dressed in white. And Adam Driver is dressed in black, and I have had this sneaking suspicion that somehow, because in episode 5, and even in episode 2, 5 and 8 are like they're congruent tonally. They're like the middle movie in the trilogy.
This is the cliffhanger. This is where the bad stuff happens.
Yeah. But more specifically, they're in all those movies, in episode 2, it was horribly executed, and in episode 5, it was really well done, but there was like a romance plot, right? In episode 2, it was between Padme and Anakin.
Good Lord.
And in 5, it was Han Solo and Leia. So there's got to be some kind of romance in 8. Two people have to fall in love. And Daisy Ridley was dressed in white, and Adam Driver was dressed in black. there's got to be something going on.
They're
there.
Getting married. Dude. I don't. There's I no don't, doubt.
Dude, but they're brother and sister.
I don't think they're brother and sister. I really don't.
You know,
I don't.
Who knows?
I hope.
I thought Luke and Leia was going to last forever. It turns out that they're related.
But isn't that so batshit crazy to have Kylo Ren and Daisy Ridley? Like, I have no idea how they would do it because there. I mean, there's no pretense for it whatsoever in seven. I mean, in episode four, there was no pretense for it at all for Leia and Han to get together. But I mean, maybe there was. But I mean, it's just like I feel like it's so off the wall that they've got to do it.
I was listening to a great interview with Mark Hamill. And he was telling me that originally the script read Obi-Wan killed your father instead of mm-hmm. I am your father. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody was like, oh, my God, Obi-Wan's going to be the bad guy and he's yeah. behind all this madness. Wouldn't that have been a much better movie?
If like, Obi-Wan was a bad guy? Like,
Obi-Wan's a bad guy? This well, would yeah, be a much better movie.
It would have been like a figurative, like he could have still been his father, but the way that it would have played out.
Yeah, Obi-Wan to me is the greatest character in Star Wars, overarching from Episode One.
If you think, yeah, if you think about it, like if Obi-Wan had been the one who killed Luke's father, then that would have actually been more of an incentive for Luke to join the dark side.
Yeah.
Because Vader would be like he would have been the one who revealed the truth to Luke. Like, I'm the only one who's told you the truth. Everything you've been told is a lie. Like, at that point, Vader has all the leverage. You know,
right.
So
it just reminds me so much of like when the Baron Harkonnen says to Paul in Dune, he says, Paul, I'm your grandfather. Spoiler alert.
Was that even in the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, dude. It's that movie's like 3 hours long.
That movie is 3 hours of total trash. And I love Dune so much and I can't say anything about it. Cause I'm like, dude, the only time you decided to go, you know, to the big screen, you've really struck out on that one. But I did hear that my man... Denis Villeneuve, the guy behind Blade Runner 2049, his next project is actually Dune.
Oh, hell yeah.
He'll be remaking it.
That's so crazy.
I hope that happens because I heard that the guy who was responsible for, what's that movie? Chappie. What's the
director? I'm not sure of that guy's
name. He also did District 13 or
District 9.
He was supposed to do an Alien movie. He was supposed to do Alien 5 when, like, Sigourney Weaver was on board and all this stuff, and it just kind of fell apart in the pre-production phase. So that would be amazing if – I haven't seen Blade Runner 2049, but if there was another Dune movie, that'd be badass.
Blade Runner 2049 was – I can't say anything better about it. It's just a fantastic movie. It was the best movie of 2017 for
Colby
me.
Colby Saad, what'd you think?
Which –
Blade Runner 2049?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. It was dark and it was kind of slow, but I thought it was really theatrical and the shots were really just like beautiful.
Cinematic.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was a perfect movie to see in the theater.
It was really moody. I loved it. Like my friends I was with that saw it with me were just like, that was really uneventful and I had no idea what was going on because I didn't see the original. I didn't see the original either, but I kind of got a hint of what was going on. But yeah, I thought it was a really kind of moody, awesome movie. So.
Yeah, man. It is what it is. What are some of your other favorite movies? Let me hear from this side of the room.
I haven't had a favorite movie in a while.
We talked about Jurassic Park earlier as well.
My two favorites are American History X.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Oh, incredible. And then Rain Over Me.
Oh, yeah, man. I forgot about that.
That movie's amazing.
I'm a big Edward Norton fan. I used to be. Now Edward Norton, I feel like, doesn't do half as what he used to do in the 90s. But if you ever seen a movie, if you ever get a chance to watch it, if you want to see Edward Norton just really kill it while acting, check out the movie Primal Fear. It's his first movie, first major movie. Came out right before American History X. It stars Richard Gere and Edward Norton. And it's a crime drama, and it will blow your mind. Doesn't sound like much, but trust me, it's going to be worth it.
What's it called? Yeah. What's it again?
It's called Primal Fear.
Primal Fear.
All right, I'm into it.
So definitely check it out. The Archbishop of... you know, the Catholic Church of Chicago winds up brutally murdered, and Edward Norton's character is found under a train track covered in the Archbishop's blood, and he's the Southern boy that stutters and has no idea what's going on, and Richard Gere has to prove his innocence.
Is it a period piece?
If the period is 1995, then yes, because that's when it came
out. At this point, it's a period piece.
Yes. So, yeah, guys. Yeah, so you guys have been rocking and rolling on the road. We're talking about movies. We're talking about stand-up. We're talking about all kinds of great stuff while we were off air, while we were just rocking the rig, off the air.
Swinging the rig,
if you will.
Ripping the rig. We were ripping a rig.
Ripping the rig and swinging the rig. Why don't you tell everybody the rig backstory?
Oh, man. It's Adrian and the Assuming We Survive guys, 100%. We did a run with them, and they just kept saying it, and we kind of started doing it to, like, you know, joking around and, you know, being friendly and being friends with them, and it just stuck.
So just explain to everybody, what's a rig?
Oh, everything.
Everything's a goddamn rig.
You're a rig, I'm a rig, he's a rig.
I'm John, you're John.
I'm John, yeah,
exactly. So we're swinging a rig in the middle of the rig, we're just laying down this... All this vocals
we're,
for the
we're
rig.
We're swinging a rig. We're rigging a rig. It doesn't matter. Well, Adrian was saying that he got it from somebody else. Yeah. So this is like being passed through the olive vine.
Yeah, it's just like your trailer's a rig, your car's a rig. Like, hey man, go grab my shirt from the rig.
Let's go. The show's a
go
rig.
Go grab my rig from my.
Let's
from
go.
The rig.
Let's go
exactly.
Play this rig.
Thanks so much. You know.
Yeah, it's important to be kind and make sure that you say thanks so much right after.
Exactly.
So yeah, guys. Well, and how? So currently, we're in the middle of tour. Maybe by the time this airs, that tour will be over. But you got Nashville tomorrow. What are some of the other dates that you got going on?
We got a South Carolina date, North Carolina date, and then a hometown show.
Yeah, I gotcha. What are some of the craziest tour stories, man? When you're living life out on the road, there's got to be some wackiness that happens.
Okay. We're just daily. wacky 24/7, man.
Yeah, we're just whack balls. Definitely. This isn't like crazy. I feel like this is pretty common, but like when we did the 2 weeks on Warped,
I don't think this one is common.
It's not wacky.
Yeah,
but
tell
it's,
it.
This is the this is the vomit one.
Tell
the
it.
Vomit
yeah.
one.
Oh,
yeah.
No, that's
fine. Pretty wacky.
Okay, yeah. There's one where we were just stupid. But this first one is like we're doing this like show in an acoustic tent, right? Didn't sleep at all the night before.
It was on Warped Tour.
On Warped Tour. Show
so
up.
Never sleep ever.
Yeah. We show up and like this was the first day, so we were still trying to figure out wristbands and how to get in and like, can we just walk in or is somebody gonna bitch at us and all that stuff. So we were being very timid and hanging back, and then finally got in touch with the dude who was running the tent and ran in there, started loading stuff in, and you know, boom, boom, boom. Get all the stuff set up, help out. Okay, so we get our set time, and then we're just hanging out. And they had this bus this time around on Warped Tour 2017 that was the mutant energy drink. Or what was
the
it?
Monster energy drink?
Was it? It was like Monster, but it was like called Mutant.
Yeah, it was a mutant.
That was a new thing that they had. Yeah.
Yeah. So I drank one.
See, their version goes ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it was this like energy drink, and no sleep, hadn't drinking any water. We're getting ready to play. I'm hanging out, like, and I'm like starting to do like some vocal warm ups and stuff, which involves like kind of deep breathing to kind of like expand your diaphragm so you can get more breath or more air in your lungs. And I started like expanding my stomach pretty dramatically, and we're about to go on, and we had been promoting all day, and there were a bunch of people like hanging out, like ready to watch us.
This is literally like 3 minutes before we're about to play.
Yeah,
I'm plugging stuff in.
Yeah,
everyone's setting up, and Seth is off doing his thing.
Yeah, I'm like warming up, and I'm like, I look at Colby, and I'm like, dude, I'm gonna fucking throw up. And he's like, well, don't do it in front of these girls, man. And so I pull the tent cover back and run underneath one of the semis and just like puke, and there's a dude hanging out in a hammock underneath one of the semis because this is like his hangout spot. He's in his groove and shit. And then like, yeah, I'm just throwing up, and then it's, you know,
just pure water.
It was just nothing but water because I just chugged a bunch of water because I was like, oh, I hadn't drinking anything, and then it was like, ladies and gentlemen, here's Dream of Lions. And I walk out, and I'm like wiping the vomit off my face. And
hand you your guitar.
Hand me my guitar.
I had to check it because you're sick, and it's just right at it.
It's like, what's up, everybody? Here we go. And it was like the best we ever sounded, which is the worst part. Like,
was that the day that Adrian was there?
Adrian
when
was
visiting,
there,
and we had a bunch of friends come out. And
And later on, Shane was like, who the fuck threw up underneath the
I don't know, man. I told him. You better not.
But
you better not.
Yeah, so that was one thing. And then the other crazy thing that happened was
we were still getting in the groove. You know, we hadn't, like, we really hadn't toured a lot up until this point in our band's history. And so being on Warped Tour, especially, like, following around the tour and just doing it in a car was definitely a shock. So we were all very tired at the end of every day, which I'm sure everybody is, but very tired at the end of the day. We were in Ohio, and we only had to drive 2 hours to, where were we going? It was only, it was a 2 hour drive from Ohio west, northwest.
I forget
where we were going. I think it was Indianapolis actually. And so we get in the car, totally exhausted, but pretty stoked because we get to sleep that night. So Colby and I get in the car, Justin and Nick get in the car, and Colby and I are just like, yeah, you drive an hour, I'll sleep, we'll swap, and then I'll drive the other way. Drive an hour there, swap GPSs. This is the key point. We switch phones. So now the GPS system is no longer the one, the it was on my phone initially, and then now it's on, we typed it back in on Colby's phone. But the tricky thing is that it accidentally rerouted us back to where we came from.
Oh.
So we drove an hour, switched drivers, switched GPSs, and there was no, like, check because I was sleeping. We were tired as shit. And then I just remember waking up being like, man, Indianapolis looks a lot like the Ohio River Valley. And
imagine, and the Rocky Mountains would be then, a little more rockier than this.
Yeah, that John Denver is full of shit. And it was literally a Dumb and Dumber moment.
It was so great because by the time, when you guys figured out, I think I got a call from you, or you called me. And we're sitting in the parking lot of a hotel that we got because, oh, we have a night to sleep?
Yeah.
This is amazing. We're all there. It's like, hey, something bad happened. And we're thinking, like, we're all so tired.
The worst.
We're thinking wreck because I drove an hour and had to fall asleep. So we just switched after an hour, and that's how bad it was.
And that second hour where I was driving, I was like, you get to a point of tired where you're driving and you see just a regular traffic cone, and you're like, I have to slow down.
Right.
Because I don't know what that is.
Delirium kicks in.
Exactly.
Delirium kicks in.
So when they tell us, it's like, oh, well, we did this thing. I was like, oh, well, okay, good. You didn't die.
Yeah.
So I expected a wreck.
We turned what was supposed to be a two-hour drive and some sleep into a four-hour drive and no sleep. So
and the best part, the hotel was under his name.
Yeah, so they couldn't get in.
So I tried, and they're like, oh, well, if the person's not here, I can't let you in. I was like, they're
totally on their way.
So we paid for a hotel room, and then we had to sleep in our car.
That's lame.
We did get in eventually.
Yeah, eventually for like 2 hours.
That's 2 hours.
For those showers.
It was beautiful.
Dude, I've never told this story really to hardly anybody, and especially not on the podcast, but I feel like, whatever, I'll just tell everybody and their mom. Because Warped Tour is very, very difficult tour, and the thing is you really are running on no sleep. And there's a reason, I think, genuinely, why Monster Energy Drink sponsors this tour, because you're drinking Monsters all day long to stay awake, to stay pumped, to stay, like, alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we had a day off the next day, and it was like one of those things where, like, you know, you just get no sleep, and you're driving and whatever, and I didn't have to drive, and you know, we're sleeping in the van, and the van is, like, so hot. You know, you wake up in the mornings, and it's, like, 100 degrees. And I woke up, like, I finally was able to catch some sleep. And we have, like, a loft in our van or whatever, so I'm sleeping up in the loft, and it has, like, a little mattress and some sheets and stuff, whatever. It's like a bed. And I wake up the next day, and after finally getting some sleep, it's just, like, I remember laying down, and then it was just, like, the next morning I woke up, and I was like, man, it's really hot in here. I'm like really sweaty. Like, what's going on? Like, I'm just like covered in sweat. And then I realized that I was actually so tired that I didn't know that I actually pissed the bunk.
Oh, I was about to say you pee yourself, but yes. I didn't.
And I had no idea.
I didn't want to put that on you.
Right. I had no idea that I even had to go to the bathroom. Like, no warning signs. My brain didn't kick in anything. It was just like,
you were too tired to even control the ability to hold it in your sleep.
One of the most embarrassing stories of my life. Hey, I'm sharing it on the podcast, guys. Whatever. Turning over a new
leaf. That's amazing.
But it was like one of those things where I was like, that's how crazy Warped Tour is. And how, like, literally running on no sleep, how your body's just like, we're going to shut down and we're going to do it for real.
It's boot camp, dude. It's crazy.
It's it certainly is. Definitely the most difficult thing you'll do.
Yeah, I mean, I have like huge respect for the people who've done the whole tour, because we did 2 weeks, and by the end of it, we were like, Jesus, man.
We were burnt. We were tired.
Yeah, it was hardcore.
You got to get that super awesome sunburn. I have Native American background. So does Kevin. So it's like literally all we had to do is be out in the sun for like 2 days, and then we are like 50 shades darker.
I got an amazing tan.
Yeah.
He did too, eventually.
You're Italian, right? Or
I'm something.
Spanish something. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, but he's got some olive tone to his skin.
Yeah.
I usually burn. I take a little longer to tan up.
Develop your Hulk Hogan.
I was pretty happy with the way I looked at the end of it.
Yeah, it was great until, you know, you take your shirt off and you're just like, oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, right. You're a farmer.
There's a reason every load-in, I was like, after like two, I was like, all right, no shirt for this, just so I look sort of normal.
Dude, yeah, there were a couple days at the end when Colby and I were like, okay, I think we can fix this if we do this at the right times. And then, like, on one of the last days, Colby's like, dude, we're fucked. There's nothing we can do about this.
There was no saving your nose, dude. He had like a terrible sunglass tan over his nose. So his whole nose was like black.
Kenny Powers got that baseball player tan line.
I'm not gonna lie, I think my nose is still like a bit darker than the rest of my face.
There's no coming back.
It's bad. I see it right on the bridge of your nose.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's not the nose is darker.
I can see that the bridge is lighter.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Now that you pointed out,
I can actually see that. Fuck,
it's crazy.
I'm not coming back, Jim.
Warped fucked you up,
dude. Here's the secret, man. You just gotta wear it. Like, I wish I was real goth. I'd wear like those big goth sleeves. Like, I wish I could just wear, like, those big sleeves and then, like, a ski mask and just really even out that farmer's tan.
Right, exactly.
Because I just covered up the only parts that are tan.
You just gonna mask this out?
Yeah, exactly. It's cool, guys. I've just got it under control.
Alternate every other day. You either go sleeves and mask and then just shirt, and you're normal.
It's perfect. But, yeah, man. Well, as we are wrapping it up, man, and as we're about to go, I don't know, swig a few more rigs.
Swig the rigs.
And just bro down. You know, for a bit. Where can people... There's a thing called, as far as I know, it's called the internet.
Yeah.
And
that's a good place.
A lot of times these... Ooh. I think the kids are really using it. Are you guys on the internet? Am I saying this correctly? The web?
I think it's
the
interweb.
The World Wide Web?
Yeah,
the
interweb. If you log into your personal computer...
Okay.
And you use the mouse and the keyboard, you can actually go to social media platforms.
Yeah. What's the AOL keyword for you guys?
Party Boy 69.
Team Extreme.
So, yeah, I mean, we're on, like, Facebook and all that bullshit, and, like, Instagram and Twitter and blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blow, but the key thing is that we got this new record coming out. We got a new song, which is on YouTube and on Spotify, but if you really like the song, you can pre-order our record, Pseudostar, for $5, and you'll get the new single, Love Me Like I'm Sick, right away. And then you'll get the rest of the record when it comes out in February on merch now.
We got some other cool merch designs and bundles with it, so there's more to it. But yeah, so it's at hisdreamalliance.merchnow.com.
.org.
.org?
.net.
.com.
.gov.
.gov.
Yes. Don't play this game with me.
.com.
hisdreamalliance.com.
.edu. Yeah. So check that out. And if you like look us up on YouTube, you have the Love Me Like I'm Sick video, the merch now links in there and everything like that. So
or take a look at Spotify. I mean, we're everywhere. We got it covered.
And listeners, I will do everyone a solid, and I'm just going to put all that in the show notes. Links galore, so that way you can find everything about His Dream Alliance. Quick question before we end it. What is the story behind the name?
Oh,
whose dream?
This is my dream.
My time to shine.
This is his dream.
Because these guys fuck it up all the time. So I need to tell the story right. So basically, like, we had this name that was born more out of necessity, really, than like inspiration. Because we're playing our first show, and we had to do this like sign up thing, and they're like, "What's your name?" And we're like, "Oh, here's our name." And so we didn't really think about it. We got to a point where we were getting really serious about the band, and we just needed to rename the band. So we wanted something that would be less of a band name and be more of a kind of like an indicator behind the philosophy for
like
the band.
Like a mission statement.
Yeah, a mission statement. A maxim, if you will. So I read Old Man and the Sea by Hemingway, and I was totally blown away by it, and I thought it was an awesome book. And in the story, the old man has these dreams of lions on the beach, and the quote is like, they play like young cats. And so the lions on the beach are meant to be a metaphor for like a sense of youthful adventure that the old man is trying to retain, or he's trying to get back, so to speak, because, you know, what lions would play near the water because they can't swim.
Right. You know?
So it's really a metaphor about being a participant in your life. So by taking on the name His Dream of Lions, it's supposed to kind of be a reminder that, you know, it's not going to be easy all the time. It's not going to be, you know, piece of cake or walk in the park. Like, shit's going to suck sometimes. But you got to do it anyway because you're going to die and this is your shot. So do the stuff that matters. And right. For us, being in this band matters. And I think at the end of the day, we want to like encourage people to find what matters to them and pursue that wholeheartedly without, I mean, like, pull out all stops and go after it as hard as they can for as long as they can, you know? So that's really where what the band name means.
That's such a inspiring kind of quote, and it's inspiring thing, because it's really true. 'Cause at the end of the day, everybody's going to grow old. Everybody's mm-hmm. going to pass away. And, you know, a lot of times people say, hey, you know, give up on your dreams, give up on this and go work your 9-to-5 job and go do whatever I want you to do, not what you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, for example, like, you know, we could have just done a phone interview, but that's true. You texted us and you were like, fuck it, let's just meet up and do the podcast, you know, and here we are.
Yeah.
And it's badass. And
that's how they can happen. That's how the entire band kind of started in that same kind of thing. That's how it progressed through. And
mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it's a very fitting name and term for it.
Yeah, it's just mm-hmm. initiative.
Yeah, and there's the AC.
Yeah, it's the heat.
That was the heat.
Okay. The heat wonderful. Is kicking in. It's about 1 degree here. So if you hear the heat in the background, that's what's up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, man. Like, I've said it on this podcast before, and I just to speak for myself, it's, you know, you take a kid from nowhere in the world that has nothing, comes from nowhere. I mean, I couldn't afford to go to college or anything like that, and I put all my eggs in one basket to play music, and here I am now. Even though I'm not playing music currently, it's like I've been able to see the world in ways that I never thought I would, meet people that I never thought I would, be in scenarios and positions and have these times that I never thought I would ever be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I just figured like that was not in the cards for me, and I just pursued a dream and did it.
Yeah.
And you guys are pursuing a dream and doing it. And anybody out there listening, I would say, do the same. Pursue your dream and do it. You never know where it's going to take you.
Go hard.
Go hard in the paint. Dream of lions, bro.
Just fucking
dream of hell lions. Yeah.
Dream of that
hell
shit.
Yeah. But yeah, guys. Well, and I think with that, you know, the heat's kicked on. The heat is on. Oh, let's go swing some rig. And let's finish off the rest of the night. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. If you like what you hear, which obviously you did because you're at the end of the fucking podcast. So like, share, and subscribe. Write a 5-star review if you want. Check out his Dream of Lions. All my stuff is at Sean vs. Wild or Sean vs. Wild Podcast on Instagram, whatever. And do what you can to support the bands out there, making it work. And until then, as Jerry Springer would say, take care of yourselves.
You too.
Thank you guys too. So much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And each other.
Bye-bye.
So yeah, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. This has been the Sean vs. Wild Podcast.